Kitchen bouncing between the glass-fronted office blocks in the nearby mini-metropolis of Croydon, each dark, towering shape brilliantly silhouetted against the azure sky. The sight was one from which she would never tire. At the next stop, she moved gingerly towards the door, clinging hard to the grips at the top of each seat with every step that she took, consciously waiting for the final jolt that signalled the bus was at last stationary. Her fingers shook with the effort, and her legs bowed with the exertion of stepping down the two steep metal stairs onto the road below. The bus was rarely busy between school times, and apart from a few passengers who had left along her journey, there were only two other people on board, a silver-haired, outwardly respectable lady of a similar age to her, and a man in his mid-40s with a red ink-blot-style birthmark on his forehead. They would be kept waiting until she dismounted, so she tried to be quick. Once on the pavement, she placed her two small shopping bags down and waved her thanks towards the driver. It wasn't their usual driver. This driver was a woman, a little less aware of customer satisfaction and a little more focused on adhering to the timetable, maybe. But Florence liked to be polite. Good manners were still as important now as when they had been instilled in her by her Victorian mother. She thought of her usual driver, always full of cheery words and a welcome smile, well-liked amongst the local residents of Streatham and Crystal Palace. He was a love, though. On one occasion, he had even dismounted from the driver's cab to assist her onto the bus, his strong hands guiding her frail figure to one of the nearest seats saved for the elderly. The bus was pulling away now as she started to shuffle up the road, her hip jarring with each step taken. The bags were light, only a few single pieces of fruit, some cereal, and a packet of tea bags, the outing being more an excuse to leave the confines of her house and speak to people, really. There were a few flags fluttering outside houses, the red crosses signifying St. George's Day, bringing back patriotic memories of wartime Britain. Her hip tweaked again, reinforcing the fact she was old enough to remember. Still, it wasn't far to go, thankfully. Just across the footpath at the top of the common, past the Rookery Cafe, and then a few houses into the street that bordered the woods. Her neighbour was bent over, tending to his front garden as she approached. He straightened and rubbed the base of his back, squeezing his eyes shut briefly. "Good morning, Flo," he smiled warmly towards the old lady. "It's good to see you out and about. How's the hip replacement doing?" "I can't complain, George." She never complained. Flo nodded towards a clump of colourful wallflowers. "Anyway, it gets me out in the sunshine to admire your gardening prowess, especially as it's the day named in your honour, St. George's Day." She chuckled as her friend shook his head with a grin, leaning across to get her balance on the gate. George had lost his wife 2 years after she had lost Alf. The four of them had been great friends, and more than one member of her family and other acquaintances had commented on their possible pairing. But it had never happened, for no other reason than it didn't seem right. She returned his smile, winking cheekily. Florence Brierly might have an ingrained sense of propriety, but she wasn't too stuffy to tease, and she certainly would never forgo the opportunity to have some fun with George, even if that meant a gentle flirtation with her neighbour, along with the odd game of whist or Scrabble. They were as close to being a couple as was possible, without actually being a couple, and although she was sure that her Alf and his Jeannie wouldn't have minded, to blur the lines of their previous friendship still seemed like a breach of both etiquette and trust. They exchanged pleasantries for a few minutes before arranging their next social. Tomorrow afternoon, George would join her, Nick Hewer, Rachel Riley and Susie Dent for a game of countdown, washed down with tea and cake. Tomorrow they would meet as they had done for years to pit their wits and knowledge against each other. Tomorrow the two old friends would be companions, providing solace against the inevitable solitude of living alone. Flo watched as George bent and snipped a single daffodil from a clump of growing spring bulbs and held it out towards her. She shook her head in mock rebuke but took the flower, smiling with pleasure, before saying her goodbyes and hobbling off with the delicate yellow bloom held carefully between the handles of her bags. He was an old fool, but she would be looking forward to the next...